Stephen, let's concentrate for a bit on segment about the birds all over the place. They're falling all over the place.
Well, all over the place. And you know what's fascinating about this? Let me just put it into perspective, because we can't deal with the birds without dealing with the potential of what's killing the birds, okay? And on the 14th of December of this year, George, I don't know if you dealt with this, but the White House published, tightened the rules for all United States Geological Survey scientists, okay? Now, I don't know if people realize this.
Well, and what do you mean, tighten the rules?
Well, let me read just, this is off the Associated Press, okay? In other words, to be really bottom line, the scientists that work for the USGS cannot say anything to anyone about their conclusions, warnings, or alerts without first checking it through the White House. In other words, the White House has put a total clampdown on all information emanating from the USGS. May I just read one paragraph
yes.
for you?
Go ahead, please.
The Bush administration clamped down on scientists at the U.S. Geological Survey who study everything from caribou mating to global warming, subjecting them to controls on research that might go against official policy. Now, obviously, the question has to be asked, what happens if official policy is wrong? I'm talking scientifically. New rules require the screening of all facts and interpretations by agency scientists. The rules apply to all scientific papers and other public documents, even minor reports or prepared talks, according to documents obtained by the Associated Press. December 14th is the day that all of the events started to kick into play. Now, here's what something one of the scientists said this. He said, and he works for USGS, he says, I feel as though we've got someone looking over our shoulder at every damn thing we do, and to me that's a very scary thing. I worry that it borders on censorship, said Jim Estes, an internationally recognized marine biologist who works for the geological unit. In other words, there's nothing. Let's say we're experiencing long period episodic earthquakes, which Bernard Chouet and some of these brilliant scientists that work for the USGS have warned about in the past. Let's say the volcanoes, multiple volcanoes are getting ready to go off, or let's say even Mount Rainier. There would come a point where no warnings could be given until it was all checked through the White House. Any preemptive or preemptory information, by the way, this is an Associated Press article dated 12/14, so I'm not making this up. Now, what's pertinent to our talk of dead birds is simply this. The canaries in the mine shaft would validate or verify that the safe was air to breathe. Safe to breathe. The point being is that there seems to be massive relationships between the hydrogen sulfide smell, the H2S, the rotten egg smell,
right,
in a lot of areas where the dead birds are, quote-unquote, dropping like flies.
So okay? You think there's a tie-in here?
I think there's a tie-in. I think there has to be a tie-in that something is being released. Now, again, hydrogen sulfide is incredibly, incredibly poisonous, especially if you go to what's called the material safety data sheets. Hydrogen sulfide is what miners have to have instruments for. And again, the point is that anything over 50 parts per million is considered hazardous, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. So, get this, George, about the same time, and I believe there's linkage, okay? Linkage meaning this stuff just doesn't happen out of the blue. And we're talking when this stuff first started happening, in other words, the events that the first dead bird issues, et cetera, happened around that time, 12/14. So what I'm saying is I believe that the powers that be and are making sure that the total control of information flows under their guidance. And this is why it's so important for people to pay attention tonight. You know, I've been telling everyone, prepare, prepare, prepare. And do not put it off. That means obviously have the food, water, generators, et cetera, that people should have, because I don't think they're going to be afforded the luxury of much more procrastination time. So the thing that's interesting is this. On Monday, January 8th, okay, there were reports of a monstrous gas leak in New York City. But the gas company ran their test, and there was no identifiable gas problem in the pipeline. Now, this wasn't just just an ordinary gas leak. It was a huge gas leak. Now, Rochester, New York, reported four broken water mains during the same time frame. And at that point, as you know, I sent you the article before the show, marine tankers...
That's the story that I'm interested in.
Got it. Marine tankers, these are ships, because methane hydrate is underwater, as the global warming and the oceans heat up, methane is released, and methane changes the buoyancy on ships. That's mm-hmm. what a lot of people believe. The Bermuda Triangle and different areas around the world have been more causative of shipwrecks and ship sinkings than anything else. But what's fascinating, and this is where it really gets interesting, is that the area of New York goes into an underwater canyon into the Hudson River, and there is, I think it was Wayne Madsen, was the first guy to report that, look, there's linkage here. There's major linkage that we're dealing with a situation that is coming into focus that we may be able to see that if people would take a piece of bread. Let me explain this.
And is there enough methane, Stephen? Methane is very, isn't it flammable?
Methane's incredibly flammable, but it doesn't have an odor. Methane's another word for natural gas.
All right, but if this is methane leaking into the atmosphere, could there be so much that a spark or a flame could blow up the whole area?
Absolutely. And that's the concern that Stan Dale and I have talked at length, because, you know, you're hearing the permafrost melting
mm-hmm.
in the Arctic. You're hearing the situation of the ships. Let me share this with you. Most people don't know this, and I need to tell them this, because I think this will be the pièce de résistance on this. In other words, Stan has, for over a decade, taken the sea surface temperature anomaly maps based on the Navy's data, their buoys and their satellites, and shown places where hot and cold water meet over stresses. He could project earthquake activity with pretty remarkable results. Listen to this, George. At about, I think it was a little after Thanksgiving, all of the flow of data that Stan based his projections, forecasts, etc., were taken off the web. There is no longer the data for Stan to deal with.
See, that's been happening to him a lot, too, hasn't it?
That's been happening. And you know what? As it got more and more pertinent to the time-sensitive incidents leading into, quote, this Associated Press article I just shared with you. I mean, censorship, come on, it's out and out blockage of information that is going to be so critical for people to understand. But the last, one of the last indicators that Stan was talking about, a huge indicator, was off the coast of Newfoundland. As we get ruptures in the different plates, the hydrogen sulfide along with methane is released. Obviously, that has potential. That smell that we're talking about, the smell of rotten eggs, goes throughout the country. It was basically sensed from L.A. to Thunder Bay on Lake Superior to New England states throughout the southeastern U.S. That's in September of 2005. In the last 30 to 40 days, I must have tracked at least 20 to 25 different reports from different states, different areas, everything from people's wells having the rotten egg smell, to people driving, anything from the Fresno Valley all the way to New York, all the way down to Florida, through the Gulf Coast, and especially in the New Madrid. So what I'm saying to people is we're getting set for some of the most horrific earth changes, and if you take a piece of bread, bend it up in the middle with your thumbs, pull away at the outside of the crust with your fingers, that's what's happening. The methane, hydrogen sulfide, and there are chemicals being released, obviously, that are affecting the wildlife. And this also produces frequencies, or what I would call harmonic interruptions and distortions, in what is called the Schumann frequency. The Earth has a natural frequency.
Yes.
And that's what the animals respond to. It's just like stories we heard of the tsunami before it hit